Hey peeps.
Hey peeps, and it's after Easter, so if you were eaten and digested and are now floating in a toilet somewhere or a sewer, hello to you as well.
This is the worst intro we've ever done.
You started it, you said hey peeps.
Yeah, but you know, I said peeps in like the colloquial term.
Well, it's just right after Easter, and I don't think I'm wrong by being confused by you saying peeps.
What? Since when in the, like, whenever anyone has said, hey, peeps, what percentage of time do you think people mean the Easter candy? Specifically in the sentence, hey, peeps.
Probably, well, like, after Easter, I think that number goes up. I think it goes up. It skyrockets.
I'm talking about specifically this sentence, hey, comma, peeps.
Yeah, when I see him in a store, peeps. I'm like, hey, peeps.
You're talking about, hey, comma, peeps, exclamation point. I'm just talking about, like, hey, peeps, comma. Rest of sentence.
That's got to be our earliest argument on the show. Well, 1 second after we started it.
Literally from the very beginning.
Hey, everybody. Magic the Amateuring. What's up?
We're a podcast about Magic the Gathering and not about arguments over Easter candy.
I'm Maria, one of your hosts.
I'm Megan, another one of your hosts who has the correct perspective on the situation.
Peeps, by the way, gross, disgusting. I'm sorry, I have to put it out there. I think they're terrible.
I don't think that you're alone in that opinion. I don't think you're in the minority in that opinion. I think you're in the solid majority.
I also once made a wreath out of peeps.
That's disgusting.
It was adorable.
Why would you do that?
Because I was a quirky crafter. I made it on live television. And
oh boy.
I put it, I hung it on my door.
Sure.
As you would afterwards. Yeah. It kept for years.
Disgusting.
Nothing was wrong with it. It did not rot. It did not.
That's like, did you have like a set of candy canes that you hung on the Christmas tree that like weren't eating candy canes?
Yeah, I suppose.
Right? It's just like, these are the candy canes that hang on the Christmas tree and they're like literally a decade old.
Yeah, those peeps lasted a good 5 years on that wreath.
Oh boy, that's disturbing.
It was only until like a couple years ago that they started to shrivel.
Really? It took them years to shrivel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, a lot of stuff happened this past weekend in Magic, and in fact today in Magic, and we're going to talk about that on the show today.
All of those things that happened.
Yeah, we had the Shadows over Innistrad pre-release.
Yep, we're going to deal with an interesting question for our For the Noobs segment that came up this weekend in Shadows over Innistrad.
And we also had some bannings and unbannings in Modern.
Ooh, and in Vintage.
Yes.
Wow.
So let's talk about what happened there.
That's not true.
We're not millionaires.
I'm gonna play Vintage someday.
That's a good life goal.
Yeah, right? I feel good about it.
So like in a job interview when they ask you, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
I'll be playing Vintage.
And if your boss is like, oh yeah, I feel ya, then you know you found the right company.
Exactly. I feel like, I think that if someone asked that question and understood, and I gave that answer and they understood it, you would have a very high chance of getting that job.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Just through so much, like, interpersonal connection.
Hobbies are, like, a huge selling point on jobs.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
If they think your hobbies are cool, they're like, you're the real deal.
Absolutely. Actually, okay, do you want to hear the best, like, one of the best things that anyone's ever said about me?
What?
To me? Okay, it was when I got hired for my current job, and like, I found out afterwards that it had come down to me and one other woman who had more experience in publishing than I did. I started the job, and during the week that I started, like, my first week there, the woman who had my job before me, so my job is just, like, I work for a very small imprint, so it's, like, just me and the publisher.
Yeah.
And she was, like, and the girl, so the woman whose job I was taking, that first week was like training me in. And at the end of it, like, we went to lunch and she was talking about, like, I think she was saying something nice about, like, the other woman's blazer, the one that they hadn't hired. She was like, it was a sick blazer, but she was like, okay. I just had this feeling that you were like a secret badass.
And that's a great thing to be called.
Right? And that's why they hired me.
Let's change this name of this podcast right now. Secret Badass.
Anyways, so I just feel like I got hired off of someone thinking that I was a secret badass.
That's awesome. And if you play Magic and you don't tell people about it, you probably are a secret badass.
That's That's not necessarily untrue.
I know. And like, we've got a lot of good Shadows Over Innistrad stuff to talk about. So
yeah, anyways, that was just my sick brags moment.
And also, by the way, I just want to mention, if you support us on Patreon, patreon.com/mtacast, you get a lot of great rewards. We've still got a lot of playmats available, a lot of t-shirts for supporters at those levels. Also available on our website, magicallyamateuring.com, if you just want to straight up buy one. Yeah. And I wanted to mention this because some people I've been noticing have been a little confused when I say support at the $10 level. That means $10 an episode, not $10 a month.
Yes.
Those are two different things. So just be wary about that. And if you have a problem with it, feel free to send us an email through the Patreon website or magicallyamateuring@gmail.com. But then again, thank you to everybody who is a supporter. We're getting new supporters all the time. And it's like a little family.
It's amazing. And we're making plans because we're going to record some new episodes of My Roommate is a Planeswalker.
Yes. And so getting perilously close to our next goal.
Yes. Yeah. Which will be delightful.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Tricky transformations.
For the noobs.
So, we didn't mention this last week, and I think it's super important to bring up.
Yep.
Because transforming cards are something that we haven't all necessarily played with a ton. And the planeswalkers, the flip planeswalkers that were in Origins, interact differently from a lot of the transforming creatures in the current set.
Right.
So in Origins, right, you had, you know, your Nissa or your Jace, and they had something, you know, like Nissa, when you play a land, if you have seven or more lands, you exiled Nissa and she came back as a planeswalker.
Right.
Because she was changing from one type of permanent to another. She was a creature, she has to exile, and then she gets to come back as a planeswalker.
Yeah.
The same thing goes for Jace, right, or any of those. They have to leave. Get out of here, guys.
And come on back.
And then you
back.
Can come on back as your spark-ignited selves.
Yeah, so we talked about flip cards, double-faced cards, sorry, a lot on our last episode with Judge Rob. But we didn't really touch upon this subject, and it came up a couple of times at our pre-release, so we wanted to mention it now. So most of the flip cards, double-faced cards, sorry, in this set, like the werewolves or whatever, will act differently than those Origins planeswalkers in that they're not going away when they flip. They're just flipping.
They just stay there. They're the same permanent. They're not going to be summoning sick or anything like that. Because it's like, hey, man, I've been here. I'm still here.
I'm here the whole time.
I just look different.
I just grew fangs and had a lust for human blood.
I mean, NBD happens to me all the time.
What?
But I'm still me.
Okay. Uncomfortable.
So,
yeah.
But there are a couple of cards in Shadows Over Innistrad that interact more like the flip planeswalkers than they do like the normal transform creatures.
Yeah, and the card that I would just notably want to bring up about this is that kind of personifies this is Skin Invasion.
Yes.
So Skin Invasion is that popular little card that a lot of people really like. One red mana for an enchantment. It says enchant creature. If enchanted creature attacks, eats combat if able. When enchanted creature dies, return Skin Invasion to the battlefield transformed under your control. Mm-hmm. And it turns into a 3/4 insect.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. And like those planeswalkers in Origins, it's starting out as one type of permanent, right? It's an enchantment aura that goes on a creature.
Yep.
Your opponent's creature. Presumably. Yep. And then when it dies, it leaves. Like, right, that creature dies. It goes to the graveyard also.
Yeah.
But it gets to come back transformed.
It comes back.
So,
and I think the key wording there is return Skin Invasion to the battlefield transformed under your control.
Yes. So you mentioned that you had this come up in questions a couple of times.
Yeah. So I had two separate pre-releases.
Yes.
I had this come up where my opponent or me did not know if the 3/4... the little bug that comes back was summoning sick.
Yeah.
When they got it back. And because my creature had somehow died and it was on their turn and they'd still wanted to attack with it.
Yeah.
For example, I'll set up this scenario. Say Skin Invasion is on my little dude. Somehow my dude doesn't die. It's their turn. They kill my dude with Skin Invasion on to get the 3/4 specifically.
Yeah. For some reason, they use a removal spell.
Yeah. For some reason.
Sure.
We
whatever.
Don't recommend this line of play, but they did. And now they just wanted that 3/4. They've got it. Is that summoning sick? The answer is yes.
Yes, if it came under control that turn. That's why like act of treason type effects have to say it has haste because it's you're gaining control of it that turn.
Yeah.
And if it didn't have haste, then it would be summoning sick.
Right.
It'd be like, hey man, Not today. I don't feel great.
Not today. I just came through space and time to be here on your battlefield.
Little ill.
Yeah, so it's the same type of thing that's happening. It's changing control or whatever, and so it's summoning Sig. This you'll find this sort of same interaction, like say your card got exiled somehow.
Yeah.
With, you know, Banisher Priest or whatever.
Yeah.
It's an exile. You get it back.
You kill the Banisher Priest.
Yeah.
Die, Banisher Priest. Die.
And that card comes back to you. It's still your dude. Sick.
Yep.
So.
Bummer, man.
It's a real bummer. And that's come up for me. I know that in some games I've been like, oh, now I can attack with it.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Not yet,
so that's
it's the same thing with like control magic effects or like Dragonlord Thilumgar, where you get to gain control of a creature or planeswalker that your opponent controls. Like it's still a Bamf guard.
Yeah.
But it still has summoning sickness.
Yeah, because you just got it.
Yeah.
So Thilumgar's like, I'm gonna take this, and then whatever was taken by Thilumgar is like, oh, I don't want to fight for you yet. I'm still having feelings for my old master. I still have loyalty.
Resilient loyalty. Oh, and you had mentioned earlier that you had a point of confusion about things like act of treason or exert influence or Dragonlord Thilumgar about whether the auras and equipment came with
yes,
the creature.
Yeah.
So the answer is just a flat yes. If you act of treason something, you get the creature, and if it's wearing a sick aura, you get that sick aura. If it's wearing an equipment, you get that equipment.
This is pretty. It's a pretty sick deal.
It is a pretty sick deal.
Do you remember in Theros, though, when you had those cards that were enchantments or whatever, auras, I can't remember, and you put them on the dude, and if you attack three times or whatever, then it was gone?
Oh, yeah. Those were, you're thinking of the ordeals.
The ordeals, yeah.
Your opponent, like the owner of that ordeal, I own that ordeal, man.
Yeah.
Still got the benefit of it.
Yes. I remember that being so a point of confusion, which was, you know, not relevant anymore. But if there's a flashback, Theros draft.
Oh, I love Theros.
It was great.
Yeah. So the ordeals are unique. Usually if there's an aura on it, you get the aura. Just like in a relationship, when you date someone new, you get all their package.
Yep. It's just life, man. Magic mirrors life in more ways than one.
It really does.
Shadows over Innistrad pre-release.
What?
Wow, you guys. I'm going to say it in one word. I'm going to sum it up.
Go for it.
Fun.
It was amazing.
Good old fashioned
fun. Such a great
fun.
Time. I was having more fun playing Magic than I've had in forever.
I agree with that. I can't remember a more fun pre-release, honestly.
Yeah. Just in terms of how enjoyable playing all of the cards were. Like, all of my matches were just straight enjoyable.
Yep, and I never had a bad match. I mean...
No. Well, I had one where my opponent murdered me with werewolves in literally, turn four.
Well,
it was
that
absurd.
Could happen.
But other than that, all of the games were great.
Yeah, I never had a game where I was like, oh, this sucks, I just can't do anything. Like,
yeah.
I did have an activated, profane prince... kill me in two games, but at the same time, I could see it coming.
Profane Prince?
Yeah,
Ormondal.
Westvale Abbey, yeah.
Yes.
Coming at me. I knew it was going to happen to me.
I didn't realize that his title was Profane Prince.
Yeah, he's Profane Prince. You know who's jealous of that prince? That's what he wants to be called now. He's like, screw the artist. I want to be the Profane Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so
Well, when he swears, he already is.
Yeah. I also played against a double Arlan Cord deck.
That's absurd.
And I still wasn't I will never ever win this game. I did get a bit discouraged and played poorly. But
I saw you win a game where your opponent had resolved an Arlan Cord and had him on the battlefield for multiple turns.
It was really funny the first game because I killed the Arlan Cord. I did a lot of work and I'm okay, if I can just kill that stupid Arlan Cord, I think I'll be fine. Killed it. Immediately he's like, boom, there's another one. I was like, no! What is my life? But what I'm trying to say is even those games were fun. Even those games didn't feel like I was completely lost.
Yeah.
Anyway, so good balance in this set.
I just had a great time. And do you know what? This is going to sound super weird, but I think part of the fun of it was that, especially after coming out of Battle and Oath, there weren't crazy overpowered creatures running around everywhere.
Yeah.
A lot of the creatures were really run of the mill.
Mm-hmm.
And that just made it like there were so many more interesting dynamics, and I played way more spells than usual.
Yeah.
My Sunday pre-release deck
was so cool.
Had 13 creatures and 10 spells in it.
What?
Which was just amazing. And to be fair, two of those were I had the uncommon that makes devils and the rare that makes devils.
Dance with Devils and Devil's Playground.
You guys, those cards are sick.
They're so good. I played against Dance with Devils, which is only you get two 1/1s, and then when they die, they deal one.
Instant speed.
You get instant speed.
Just insane.
And also, like, those little devils, they're a devil to deal with. Like, they're so annoying.
They're
basically,
it's great.
I'm gonna say this: you get 2/2s for how much mana? For 4 mana.
Yeah,
that's a really good deal.
It's so sick, and they're so flexible, and multiple times. So this was the sick combo of the weekend. It happened at least once in each of my matches over 4 rounds.
Yeah,
where I had Westvale Abbey, and I would activate. I transformed Westvale Abbey, I think 4 or 5 times, and I never had to use the second ability to make a 1/1 cleric. I always had 4 devils in
you
play,
had them
and
would
sack 4 devils and like one rando creature.
Yeah,
and get a 9/9. And the best part is, if my opponent didn't have anything in play, it would just be like, okay, sack 4 devils, deal 4 to your face.
Yeah,
with that ability.
Yeah,
and then also have a 9/7.
They're just
flyer.
Like so versatile, because even if you wanted to, you could even kill one of your own to do some damage to something if you had to.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, those cards are great. That was a sweet deck. You were playing a Thing in the Ice deck. Did you ever Thing?
One time. only because I never drew it more than that. The one time I drew it, I managed to transform it.
Great.
And it was late in the game.
Like, did you win that game?
I did. Huh, I really did.
Interesting.
That was a game where my opponent managed to Angelic Purge a transformed Ormondal. And I was like, okay. And eventually I drew a Thing in the Ice. And then, like I said, I was playing 10 spells.
Yeah.
So transformed that thing.
I played a red-green werewolves build my first day. Mm-hmm. This is funny. We went 3-1 every single tournament
this
weekend.
All of them. 3-1.
All of them. Okay. And it had nothing like special in it. So I decided just to like load it up with like Uncaged Fury, that enchantment that grants trample, or what is it? Stencia.
Double strike. +1/+1.
Stencia Masquerade.
Which gives everything
first
attacking creatures first strike.
I had Magmatic Chasm. And I also had, this one is something I want to talk about actually. Spiteful Motives, which is 3 and a red for an enchantment that is Flash or an aura. And it gives +3/+0 and first strike.
Ooh.
And that's a lot of money for an enchantment, right? Because enchantments are notoriously kind of risky to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your creature gets bounced or killed, you've been 2 for 1. Mm-hmm. This card, I mean, people would probably see it coming more in the future, but it's a removal spell right now.
Yeah. And the best part about that is that it's a very aggressive card.
Yep.
So you're usually going to want to play it on your turn. And in that case, like, it's not suspicious if you have mana up if you regularly cast your creatures in your second main.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, you know, sure, my opponent has 5 open mana, but that's also because, you know, maybe they're just going to play another creature in their second main phase.
Sure, you're still open to getting just the winded or being killed by something. But there's like, what is the instant speed kill stuff in this set?
There's the one that target, the 3 and a red target creature deals damage to itself equal to its power.
There's the blockers one, but that one's not relevant.
Yeah, there's just the wind. There's
the zombie, just the wind.
Yeah, there's like a,
dead weight, but
That's sorcery.
Is it though?
It's an enchantment. Deadweight is an enchantment.
Oh, okay.
I guess there's Fiery Temper.
So, I mean, there's ways to get blown up by it, but like every time this past weekend, at least when I played, it was like, oh, GG's.
Yeah. Seems real sick.
The other card I wanted to talk about in this deck was Voldaren Duelist.
Oh, that card is a beating.
This card is sick. 3 red for a 3/2 haste when it enters something can't block. So like, in my deck, which wanted to beat down with werewolves, this card was the best thing that I could have put in it. And I put it in initially. I was like, ugh, who cares? I put it in. I was like, fine, this is whatever. No. It was so good.
And I think even LSV in his set review mentioned that this card was probably very good.
Yeah. So that was a surprise to me that was that good.
I mean, it's just absurd. Like, if your opponent is at all trying to race you, or even if they've stabilized with like one big blocker,
yeah,
it's just like, what are you gonna do? There's nothing you can do about it.
You don't want to leave everybody back and not do anything.
I remember specifically when we were playing a game before we started like the rounds.
Yeah.
Like after building, before starting rounds. And like, I felt like I was winning. Like you had a couple of creatures. I had, you know, a good blocker and some flyers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like getting in the air and leaving back a blocker. And then you played that and like,
yeah,
you literally hit me for 9 in a turn.
Yeah.
It was absurd.
Good night. My second deck was green-black, very kind of grindy, and played like Moldgraft Scavengers to try and get Delirium just to like block and do nothing for a while.
Yeah.
By the way, I found Delirium without draft to be semi-hard to assemble.
I have to say, I found the opposite because both times I was playing blue.
Yeah, you had the cards for it.
And mm-hmm. I just had like, there were some times when I had Delirium enabled, I bet you by like turn 5 or 6.
That's crazy.
But I was also playing like the 2/1 looter for three.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoyed. Even without a ton of madness, I was playing, and this was in my instance and sorceries decks. This was in my things deck.
Yeah.
My thing deck. I was playing 2 catalog, which I just like loved. I know it looks like worse divination because you have to discard a card, but
madness.
I was really happy
Delirium.
With it.
Do you have a lot of cards that want Delirium in those colors?
Honestly, in my decks, neither one, it didn't actually super matter. At the same time, that was kind of like the first one was Spirits.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoyed. Also Spirits found to be quite good. And then again, the second one was, you know, all in on the flipping things.
I think this graveyard deck wants Delirium, obviously. But in Sealed, it's kind of a little harder to pull off in these colors, I think, unless you can get a Vessel. Vessel really is insanely good at getting you Delirium, obviously. Seasons Past was in this deck. It was absolutely incredibly bonkers.
Yeah, it seems crazy good.
You go from not having any business winning a game to winning a game with that card.
I believe it.
I splash for Altered Ego, also insane.
Yep.
Gitrog Monster, obviously. Duh, that card's good. And he's shiny. He's a foil.
Nice.
But yeah, I made a couple of clue tokens this weekend. I didn't have any decks that were mainly about clues.
I made
so.
Bonkers amounts of clue tokens. I have to say, like, I think one of the things that I enjoyed the most, especially on Sunday in the second one, was how much of my deck I saw.
Great.
Even in relatively short games, which I think played into, like I mentioned, like I got to activate Ormondal a lot using those devils. And it's because I would realize, you know, like not that far into the game, I was just like, I would have like 10 or 12 cards in my graveyard.
Yeah.
Just because I was like looting and cataloging and investigating. And it was just, it was amazing. I love drawing cards.
Yep.
It's so good.
I didn't get to play with Madness at all this weekend. None of my decks were Madness colors. Yeah. I mean, I did have red and that red-green, but I didn't have anything that wanted Madness.
That's fair
enough. So I didn't get to try that, hopefully someday soon.
I got to Madness out a couple of Fiery Tempers.
Seems fun.
It just feels so good.
Talk about having to be aware, by the way, of the game state with Madness. I think maybe more than anything that I've seen, like you can't just, sometimes I'm bad about this. I will let my brain kind of like, or go into a resting phase. Like if my opponent's taking a long time to make a decision or whatever. And in the past I was much worse at this and I would forget to do counter spells and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I was just kind of like, yeah. And I was on autopilot. So until it was my turn, but like Madness is, there's so many good opportunities for you to flash in a blocker even, or do something else crazy that you've got to really have your wits about you, as it were. This, and with Delirium especially as well, you've got to keep such a good eye on the state of the game and the board in this set that I think it's going to train me to be a better player, honestly. But I'm worried I'm going to miss some Madness plays.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I definitely felt like part of what made the game so fun was that I was engaged the whole time.
Yeah,
there
okay.
was never
That's
a,
good
a time
point.
When I was like, there's nothing for me to do here. I was always thinking about something.
Yeah.
It was so great.
I mean, I'm always thinking about pizza, so.
Well, I mean, that's a good thing to think about.
Yeah, just like constantly.
Oh, pizza.
Pizza.
What were we talking about?
Shadows over Innistrad.
Oh, yeah.
Release.
And pizza.
And like a lot of people had a great time. We saw lots of tweets from our listeners. Thank you for those.
Yes.
If you have any good stories.
Except for those of you who tweeted magnifying glass at us. Just so you know. I love a good joke, you guys.
Megan actually can't handle it.
I love a good joke. I love a good troll. You know, like I love hate all of the copies of Siege Rhino. Please don't post photos of magnifying glass. I can't look at our Twitter.
I like that's for real.
I can't look at our Twitter when it happens.
You're not joshing.
I'm not joking. It makes me compulsively touch my shoulders a lot when it happens. It's really bad. This is a PSA. Be kind. Please be kind
in
your trolling with
Poor
magnifying
Megan.
Glass. Oh boy.
So yeah. Did you get any in your pools? Did you immediately rip them up?
I got one.
I remember
and
you
I
got
immediately
it.
Hit it.
Did you hit it? Okay.
I never saw it again. I don't know what I'm gonna do when I have to like go through that, like take out apart my deck box and like pull those cards out.
Ugh. Set them on fire. Set them on fire. So yeah, great experience all around. Tweet your stories at us at MTAcast. Megan's having a moment. We would like to hear what happened to you.
We would love to hear about your pre-release stories.
I heard that somebody died to their own triskaidekaphobia, which I think is very funny.
Oh, I wanted to mention the match that I lost on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because I felt like my deck on Sunday was great.
Yeah.
And I ended up losing to a deck that had Always Watching, which is just like a house of a card.
Very
it's the
good.
One white non-token creatures get +1/+1 in Vigilance. Just a house. And in game three, I was actually like doing okay, but then my opponent had two of the accursed witches.
Yeah.
That when they die, transform into like you lose a life and they gain a life on your upkeep.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, you know, like I killed the first one, or like I traded a creature for the first one because I was like, do you know what? I'm at like 15 or something like that. I think over the course of 15 turns, I'll probably be able to kill my opponent. And then they played another one, and I had a couple of devils, and I was like, okay, I think it's time to just chump the second witch. I have enough like little tokens running around that I can chump her. And then like he used the draw two cards, like sack a creature and draw two cards.
Yeah.
And sacked the witch to it so that I had two, and it's like I just died so fast.
Yeah.
Accursed witch, real deal.
That card is so good and I really want to play with it.
It was very like I straight up died to that. I like if it hadn't been two of those, I think I would have won that game. But it killed me effectively and quickly.
Like a witch will.
Like a witch will, you guys.
They're not gonna beat around the bush. Nope. They're gonna come for the throat.
Yes.
So yeah, I'd love to hear your stories. If you like to share your deck pictures with us, we love to get those as well. Tweet us at MTAcast, and we'll take a look and we'll be like, sweet deck, man.
Yeah,
or
man.
Put a little heart on it. Boop. Hey everybody, guess what? It's now several
it's
hours later.
Literally midnight.
From the last time we were talking to you. For you, it
Why?
Seems like no time has passed. For us, many, many hours have gone by.
Why? What happened?
We went down a deep, dark rabbit hole that is known as Shadows Over Innistrad Draft.
It was amazing, though, wasn't it?
It was pretty fun.
It was incredible.
But I am, you know, boy, am I just feeling it right now.
I am exhausted. The last match that we were playing, we had a friend who drafted the blue-green clue archetype.
You guys, it's the real deal. Confirmed.
Gained 12 billion life.
Oh my god.
I won. I beat him because I managed to make
him
deck himself in the last game. The first one I won by damage. Second one I lost. Third one, my opponent decked himself.
Yeah, I got him down to 5 cards in his library. So,
yep.
But he did make, I think, in one game against me, in this, like, what I should say that he had was the blue enchantment that gives you, what does it do?
You exile creature, investigate. When you sack a clue, gain 2 life.
Yes. And he had 2 of those, and as well as Graph Mole, which is the 2/4. When you sack a clue, you gain 3 life.
Oh my god, yep.
And I think he had something in play against me, something like 12 clues at some point.
Yep.
And I just had, like, I made a little black-white delirium spirit stick that was not good, mm-hmm. but it tried. And so I was just, like, hitting him in the hair, but it didn't matter. In the hair. In the air. But it didn't matter because he just gained mm-hmm. all the life of that stupid mole.
Yeah, it was an insane amount of life. In the third game, I almost won by damage But he managed to get Tameo's journal out with three clues and in then the mole tutor. And sack for to gain 9 life. It was amazing.
Wow.
But I had an Audric Lunar commercial, and I had a Giralf's masterpiece.
He also had a Giralf's masterpiece.
That's very true.
Two in the same draft. That's a that's like the Sistine Chapel. That's
so
much of a masterpiece.
Rare and beautiful?
No, because it's such a masterpiece.
Oh, gotcha.
Anyway.
It was great. Ooh. I drafted blue-white flyers.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I made a ton of spirits. I played 2 angelic purges because I had so many spirits. And I played a bunch of unruly mobs and Thraben inspectors.
And then they just got big, big, big.
Exactly. You could just sack Thraben inspectors to angelic purges and pump up your unruly mobs. It was great.
Pump up your mobs. Pump it up. Pump it. Pump up. Pump up. Pump up your mobs. Pump it up. Pump it up.
We're delirious.
We're delirium.
My deck was delirious.
Anyway, I had Topplegeist turned on.
Oh, that's adorable.
Which was like, he was just being a little topple. Boop, 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 boop. That was great.
Poke.
Pokety poke poke.
Poke.
But really, the story of the night was that clue deck.
It was insane.
I think we had a wide diversity of decks. We had a werewolves deck. We had a mono
that
red.
That werewolves
like,
deck wrecked.
Vampire deck.
I think the green red werewolves is what went 3-0.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I lost a very close set of games to it. Like, game one, I flooded out hard. Game two, I like wrecked face by being like I don't know, like Thraben Inspector. You know, some 2-drop, a Niblis on 3, and then like the 3/3 that gives all of your creatures +1/+1 when it enters the battlefield.
Yeah.
And then Audric and put everything in the air next turn.
Sick.
So that was a beautiful kill. And then lost a very close game 3 to a very aggressive draw, and I just couldn't cast enough stuff fast enough.
Christian Balin, a beautiful kill. Coming
that fucking sounds like a Christian Bale movie.
Doesn't it?
Jesus Christ.
Doesn't it? Nailed it.
He's going to get that Oscar someday.
Is he, though?
No, I don't know.
No. No, he's not.
I mean,
sorry,
didn't
Christian,
he do some
I love
good
you, but...
stuff?
I mean, Newsies.
Yeah, that was really his peak.
can't really
top
that.
Open the gates and seize the day.
Anyway.
Banned and restricted announcements.
Yeah, some cards got banned, some cards got restricted, some cards got unbanned. What? This is magic.
It is magic. What happened?
So basically what everybody thought was going to happened mm-hmm. in that Eye of Eugene got banned.
It's out of here.
Sorry, Eldrazi Menace, you're probably no more, or you're at least little more fair.
Like they said, they'll have some draws where you can be like, temple.
Yeah.
Thought not seer, but... I thought it was interesting that they said they're banning Eye because Eye lets you play like multiple mimics, for instance, yeah. in the same turn. Like it can give you, right, Eldrazi Temple makes an additional mana, but with the right set of creatures, Eye of Eugene can make you like 4 to 6 mana on a turn, depending. Mm-hmm. Like it's just absurd.
They felt bad that means Tron doesn't have it, which does make me sad because I did grow a little bit of affection for Tron when I was playing it. Thanks to a listener donating their deck for a little while. But, you know, it's kind of just one of those extra things that Tron has mm-hmm. that's nice to have. Deck still works without it, so RIP.
Absolutely.
RIP.
More surprisingly.
Yeah, there is some surprises.
Ancestral Visions unbanned.
I know.
As well as Sword of the Meek.
Yeah, so Ancestral Visions, that's, you know, that's an old school card.
It really is.
It was like the first attempt to fix Ancestral Recall. Yeah. And then they're like, whoops, it's still too good.
Well, that was when there were formats in which you could cascade into it. It's really the crazy way to go about it. And really there's not, especially with the banning of Bloodbraid Elf a couple of years ago, not really a lot of cascade running around. There are some decks that do cascade. Like Living End, but there's not a ton of cascade going on.
So not you can't really abuse this card. I mean
the thoughts are like, you know, who knows? It's unbanned so that you can see what's going to happen about it.
I didn't actually know what Sword of the Meek did, so let me just read it. It's 2 mana artifact equipment. Equipped creature gets +1/+2, equipped for 2. Whenever a 1/1 creature comes into play under your control, you may return Sword of the Meek from your graveyard to play, then attach it to that creature. Okay.
Yeah. There was some sort of very slow thopter situation with this.
There you were thopters like, before?
Yeah, before. You think Hangerback, you think Kaladesh is the first place that thought of thopters?
Oh, wait, no, Ornithopter.
So I don't remember what the combo is. I'm very tired. We just played so much Magic.
Seems like something with some weenie dudes. All right, I got it. You can now play with, go build your weenies.
God. Nope. No. And in Vintage, Lodestone Golem.
Restricted.
Restricted.
He was getting out of control. He really was loading too many stones, if you know what I mean.
He was swinging out right and left.
Yeah.
You know, just bumping into people.
So, by and large, I think the community thinks these decisions are good, and they're excited by the unbanning of Ancestral Visions, as far as I can tell, and the sword.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll see what happens.
I'm very interested with the unbannings to see what goes on. Because you never know, man.
You never know. And we've got a whole new set to play with now in Modern.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing an article for Daily MTG including a couple Modern decks that use Shadows Over Innistrad cards. So check out, look for that.
Thing in the Ice.
Thing in the Ice is one of them. That card is great. And it a lot of people are talking about playing in Standard as well as in Modern. Mm-hmm. Probably better even in Modern. So, yeah, I think there's ingenuity abounding. And we just have to wait to see.
Ingenuity abounding?
Yeah.
Jace's ingenuity.
Jace's ingenuity abounding.
Abounding. Fair enough.
Yeah. I'm also like, GP Minneapolis is a Standard event coming up at Memorial Day weekend here in town. And it's got me excited about Standard for maybe the first time in my life.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to play in it. So, like, I want to play a deck that's good. So, I'm actually really excited and looking forward to. I just bumped the camera with my foot. Looking forward to
thanks for the update.
Seeing what's going to happen on the Pro Tour coming up here pretty soon with Standard. So,
I've had a really great time recently. Like, I know the set's about to rotate, but a lot of the deck survives. I've had a really good time playing Bant Collected Company, Bant Coco. I'm just super impressed with that deck.
Yeah.
It feels like it walks this perfect line between how intuitive it is, but at the same time the number of like very complicated and interesting decisions it presents to you. And it's like it's very resilient. It's just
a lot of value too.
It's tons of value. I've really enjoyed playing it, and I really look forward to potentially if that deck continues to thrive after rotation. I'm really looking forward to playing it.
Are you thinking that's going to be your go-to deck in Minneapolis?
I mean, I think that immediately following rotation, a variation on it is going to be.
Yeah.
I think that the only thing that could probably replace it in my heart would be some sort of like Thing in the Ice, Jace Friends Prodigy Prowess deck.
I think that exists, Megan.
I know. I totally believe that it does. I think it's just a matter of like how competitive the two of them are.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I will probably, honestly, being a total spike, I enjoy playing the Bant Coco deck. I believe I enjoy playing a Thing in the Ice Prowess deck. So it'll probably just be, some toss-up between how much do I love them and how good are they.
Okay, well, we'll find out. Only the future knows what the future holds.
Only the future knows.
Yep.
Only the future knows.
I pointed to my nose. Everybody, it's time for bed, okay? So whatever you're doing right now, stop it and go to sleep.
So far, what we can tell you about Shatters Over Innistrad Dorft.
Shatters Over
Innistrad Dorft is that there are, like, I felt like every archetype at that table tonight was legit.
Yeah.
Like that blue-green clues deck was totally legit.
Brian David Marshall is doing a happy dance somewhere.
Yeah. Like I loved my blue-white spirits deck.
Yeah, that deck's cool.
I thought it was very, it went 2-1 and the one that it lost was super close. The green-red werewolves that I lost to was just sick.
That's solid.
It's super interesting and very cool, and I'm very excited.
My Black-White Delirium was not powerful enough. I don't know. Like, it definitely needed, a card or two on the top to really make it shine. But it also, its cards in the middle were also pretty lackluster.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means that they just weren't there in that draft, or if, because I've heard people say this, that like Delirium isn't a deck that you should go looking to draft. It should just be something that happens, mm-hmm. and you just have it in your deck as kind of an added bonus. So that's what I would say about my black white spirits. Just
I
didn't
do
have
wonder
punch.
If I did feel like looking at your spirits, I felt like I just got the better end of the deal in general.
Yeah.
On spirits, which makes sense because I mm-hmm. was two seats to your right.
Yeah, and like there's no benefit in black for being in spirits, but there
yeah,
is
exactly.
in blue.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I just felt like it, and honestly, I didn't have like a ton of blue stuff that interacted, you know, great with spirits. It just ended up being like the other good color for my deck.
Yeah.
And in my seat, it was a very good color, but I felt like it, right. It's like, I had like the 3/1 lifelinker that you can exile from your graveyard to make two spirits. I had like, I just felt like I had more options, and I don't know that like I would have loved spirits as much from your seat, because I do feel like your spirits ended up more in the middle, whereas I was kind of cherry picking the better stuff out of it. Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is I'm not sure, like the white spirits, it worries me that we were the only two people drafting white at the table, and one of our decks ended up very good, but the other one ended up very mediocre.
Yeah.
Because that makes me wonder, like, can that deck support two people?
I don't know.
Or how many drafters can that deck support?
I don't know.
Because that definitely raises that question for me. I'm so tired. I'm just saying words with my mouth, and I'm not sure if they're true or making sense.
Well, I was trying to end the show, but then we started talking about that draft
again.
I'm sorry. You know?
It was so interesting. It was great. That mole. God, that 2/4 mole. So much
All
life.
All-star, for sure.
So much goddamn life.
So, yeah. So we'll talk more about Shadows Over Innistrad draft next time on the episode, I'm sure, as we're going to play an actual draft and not just a friend draft. So tune in for that. If you guys have played with your friends, let us know how it went. Tweet Ooh. Us at MTAcast. Ooh. Of course, remember to support the show on Patreon, patreon.com/MTAcast. We would love to have you in the family. And
I'm tired.
Please make sure your donations are real and not fake. Sometimes we get fake donations and they make me sad.
My deck was delirious and now so am I.
Send us an email, magictheamateuring@gmail.com. That's, you know, we're on Facebook, P.S.
Woo!
Facebook.com/MTAcast. You can be our friend or like us, however that works when you're not a human being, but an organization. Anyway, that's it for this episode. Next week, more Shadows thoughts and probably some
we're
joke
so
jokes.
We're so excited. Or...
What?
Nothing.
What?
I didn't have a follow-up.
Or maybe it'll be nothing. Who knows?
I hope not. That would make me so sad.
Goodbye.